Spirit Radio Podcasts.
Well, if you're just joining us, happy Friday, and it's great to have your company. It's Wendy Grace here with you until midday today. Thankfully, I've gotten into a good habit recently after I was away on holidays, where I managed to actually read a book, because we have fantastic authors that come into us all the time, homegrown talent, and I'm always getting the books going, I really want to read them. And I would say to myself, I don't have the time. But like a lot of things that are important, it's about making time. So I was starting to get through a book on holidays, and myself and my husband were saying how much we enjoyed it. And now we're just trying to, even if it's just for 10 minutes before hitting the hay, read before bed. A lot better than being on Netflix or social media or whatever, certainly for helping you get a good night's rest. And for me, it's nice to get a little bit of escapism as well if you have a good fictional read. And I think I've got my next book. I literally finished a book yesterday, so it's very fortuitous that I have a fantastic author with me back in studio today. The last time we were here, we were talking about her book Our Little Secret, which went on to be a bestseller both in Ireland and in the UK as well. It's incredible. She's written 14 novels, selling more than 500,000 copies, and many of you might know her from the Irish soap Fair City. In studio to tell us more about her new book, The Secrets of Primrose Square, we have number one best-selling Irish author Claudia Carroll. Good morning, Claudia. How are you?
Well, Wendy, what a gorgeous introduction. And can I just say, I love readers like you that read, you know, that want to get back into reading and engage with it before you go to bed at night. And I'm like you, give me a book any day.
Because it's one of those things we can fall out of when we spend our time scrolling through Facebook
it's
or whatever.
It's so easy. And you can go into a black hole, can't you, with social media. A book for me is just, I couldn't sleep without one. Three chapters, and you just get the most peaceful, lovely sleep.
And you think we're forgetting then, Claudia, just how in so many ways, especially fiction, can be a real escape, and it can be a real true form of mindfulness as well, where you're switching off.
Yeah, exactly, you know. And it's something I just love when I'm travelling, or if I'm on a flight, or if I'm on a bus or a train, and you see people reading. You know, instead of just going on Wi-Fi, checking the scroll, as I say, disappearing into the black hole, it's wonderful. And I think when you have a love of reading, it's with you for life.
And I think one of the things that, as well as enjoying it on holidays, but one of the things that's really motivating me at the moment is I have a little boy, he's a year and a half. Hi Matthew, I'm sure he's listening somewhere. Is that I wanted him to see us reading. I think it's really important for kids to see adults reading.
It's so important, they say, for cognitive development. And I know I don't have kids, but I've got 7 godchildren. And, you know, when I bring them shopping or wherever, they all want to go into Pennies and they all want to go to H&M and Zara. And I'm like kind of, oh no, how much is that? But the bookstores in Eason's, in Dubray, Hodges Figgis, I'm like, whatever you want, just pick whatever you want. You know, it's a lovely thing to encourage.
And actually, think about it, good gifts to get for everybody, obviously, but for children as well. You're mentioning babies there. This for you, your latest book, Claudia, must
number
be like 15. A baby to you.
It is.
Book
I
number
know,
15.
It's funny. I was book signing.
You've
yesterday.
Had 15 children.
There you go. And I was in the city centre, and I'm not a mother, but I think if I can be presumptuous enough to say, I know a little bit of what a mother must feel like when you see a newborn baby for the first time, because that's what it feels like to me when I see a book on the shelves, because it's a year's work. You know, 15 books in 15 years, it's like doing the Leaving Cert every single year. You know that intensity? And this book was an absolute, it just sort of wrote itself. It was a real labour of love. But we went through, my editor is amazing, and we went through about 7 drafts to get it really singing.
That must be the tough part, as in you have the bones of a story and you know where you wanted to go, but then you've got to do the fine-tuning.
All writing is rewriting.
Well, I'm thinking of when I write for the newspapers or whatever, and I'm writing 1,000 words and I'm doing the edits and the re-edits, so I can't imagine what it's like when it's 30 or 40,000 words. You know,
oh, 100, that book is 120.
There you go.
The book is about 100,000, a small book, but that one's a little bit bigger. But you know, it's all rewriting, isn't it? And this is where you've just got to have an editor that you completely trust. But I think from how I would work is, when I first come up with an idea for a new book, I would just chat to my editor, and I'm lucky that we have a great relationship. It's like the relationship an actor would have with a director. And there's that trust.
And they must
there.
Get to know you when you've been working with them
over
for
the
such
years.
A, yeah.
And also they know the market, you know. And I just said to her, you know, I've just got this image in my head. And this is where the book started, the springboard to the book. And it was of a middle-aged woman in the lashing rain, standing on a street one night, you know, huddled under an umbrella, raincoat, soaked to the skin. And she's standing in front of a house on the pavement, staring, like just staring fixatedly at this teenage boy's bedroom window where there's a light on. And you think, oh my God, is this like some, you know, does she have some kind of inappropriate crush on an underage kid? You know, is this kind of weird stuff going on here? But it turns out that this particular character has lost her daughter to teenage suicide. And she blames this particular kid, this boy of 17, who is her daughter's best friend and who is a bad influence. She blames him for her daughter's demise. And we read so much about teenage suicide, but I wondered about the families left behind who are expected to just, you know, live through birthdays, anniversaries, the heartache. Can you even begin to get your head around that? So a second character also living on this fictitious square, Primrose Square, is my middle-aged woman.
Is Primrose Square, is it Ireland that it's set in?
Okay. Well, do you know what I had in the back of my mind? I don't know if you know, in Dublin too, there's a most beautiful square called Pierce Square. And I always wanted to live there. It's a beautiful Victorian square with gorgeous two-story over basement houses, literally off Pier Street. So you were in the centre of town in these stunning houses. And I have a pal who lives there, and I just have total house envy every time I'm there. And I thought, one of these days I'm going to set a book here. And I did. But anyway, so the second character is this middle-aged woman, her daughter, who's 12, kind of on the cusp of womanhood, not quite a teenager, but she's lost her older sister to suicide, and her mum is clearly having a nervous breakdown. And this kid is just trying to keep the show on the road. She's trying to ward off social workers, concerned teachers who are asking her how things are at home. And she's putting on her best, brightest face. We are all fine, nothing to see here. And they're far from fine. So that was sort of the first threat in the first house we meet in Primrose Square. And in the second one, it's a much more comic story. I've got an older widow who'd be, you know, sort of pushing 70, but full of life, full of beans, you know, does yoga, absolutely eats really well, looks after herself, you know, a super ager, as they call them. But she's got a son who is in major financial difficulties. He's a gambler and he's married with kids, and he's just basic, that very Irish thing of he's just kind of waiting on his mum to shuffle off this mortal coil, inherit the house, pay his debts, and cha-ching, happy days. And his mother has very different ideas about her future. So she drops this bombshell on her own family at the start. This is all, you know, in the first two chapters. But that's my more comic storyline.
So you're really kind of blending the light with the dark here.
Yeah. I think you've got to. Yeah. I think you've got to blend the two.
And the book is broken into
seasons.
And the
third book's kind of a mystery. It's kind of a mystery story. It's about Airbnb. Did you ever do Airbnb?
I've done Airbnb loads of times, Claudia. And happy to say I've only ever had positive experiences.
I have yet to meet anyone who's had a bad experience. So I just loved the idea that you're in someone's home and all the things that you can get, you never meet your landlord often, and all the things that you can gauge about another human being purely by being in their space. So I've got this younger character who's in her 30s and she's relocated to Dublin for a job. She's working in the theatre as a director. And she can't believe her luck. She goes on this short-term rental website, not obviously Airbnb, but similar in the way it works, short-term rentals. And she finds this Primrose Square and she thinks, how am I able to afford this? This is incredible. But the landlord is in Shanghai. He's young. He works in finance. And he says, look, you know, it's fine. I'm just happy the place is occupied. Water the plants for me. Put out the bins. We're cool. You know, and it's a peppercorn rent. And she moves in and the place has, like, you know, it's architect designed and it's incredible. And she can't believe her luck. And it's almost a Sleepless in Seattle storyline where she sort of finds herself almost falling in love remotely with her landlord.
With the house and what's in it.
He's phoning her and, you know, he's texting and he's emailing about, you know, do you know when bin day is? Do you know what the alarm code is? But they develop a closer relationship over time. And she's sort of looking at his college graduation photos and photos of him scuba diving and windsurfing. And she begins to fall for this stranger. And she, no plot spoilers, but it turns out that there is an awful lot more to this, her mysterious benefactor, than meets the eye.
I think one of the things about the book that I've been reading is that it's really celebrating women and female friendship.
You know, the quote came from, you know, the late great Eleanor Roosevelt, and I often quote her. She says, a woman is a little bit like a tea bag. You don't know how strong she is until dipped in hot water. And ain't that the truth? Mm. None of us know until we are put through the flames what we are capable of. But I think, yeah, you know, we read so much about waking the feminists. And I just think female friendship is just something, it's very much a theme of my books. I like to write about ordinary women who find themselves in extraordinary situations. And that's very much a touchstone for Primrose Square.
Who do you think this book would be suitable for? Particular ages?
Anyone
or
who loves to read. Anyone from teenagers up, yeah. I mean, it's funny. I've got teenage goddaughters and they say, we love, you know, they're great readers, and they all at me, when is the next book out?
Well, I was going to say, Claudia, you know, what happens is, having had a baby recently-ish, is once you've had one baby, someone says, when are you having the next one?
Oh,
and
God.
Is it the same with the books?
Oh, my God. And what do you say to that? It's such a, what a kind of book. I'd never say that to anyone.
I
have a friend who says, I have done my bit for Ireland, when people ask her about
family plans. So is that what people ask you then about the books? When's the next
book?
Well,
they say, when's the next one? And it's funny, I am actually genuinely halfway through the next one.
Wow.
But I'm not telling you anymore, but I hope you'll have me back here in a year's time.
We will, indeed.
The title is, You Didn't Hear It From Me.
Oh, there you go. But we'll hear it from you in a year's time. If you've just joined me, I've been chatting to author Claudia Carroll about her latest book, her 15th book. And congratulations on
Thank you.
Claudia. The Secrets of Primrose Square. And just described as tender, funny, warm and heartbreaking. So I'm looking forward to having this as my next pre-bedtime read. Claudia, thanks so much for joining us on
Pleasure,
Spirit Radio
Wendy.
Today. And of course, that book is, as they say, available in all good bookstores.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.